The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You just heard Stephen A. Smith. So much is happening today. It is HBCU Wednesday, Stephen A. Hampton University will be highlighting. Doc Rivers will be talking to you one-on-one. I like that tie.
Thank you very much. Excuse me. The blazer is kind of new as well.
Stephen A., I love the blazer,
well,
too.
Thank you so much.
You look great.
It's a big day.
A lot of news. We'll get to it. Marcus Spears will be back with us in just a bit, guys, but we're going to start with Ben Simmons here, as Stephen A. just mentioned. He is ready to take his talents elsewhere. He will not report to the opening of training camp next week and intends to never play another game for the franchise. Sources told our Adrian Wojnarowski Simmons hasn't spoken to the team since a late August meeting when he communicated this message to the Sixers officials. Simmons still has 4 years and over $146 million left on the max extension he signed with Philadelphia in July of 2019. If he does not report, the Sixers could suspend him for failing to render services once preseason games begin, which could cost Simmons over $220,000 for each game missed. That is real money. Big Perk with us, as you just saw. Stephen A., talk to me, though. What are you hearing?
Well, first of all, Big Perk, I'm glad you're on the show with me this morning. You know, you talk around the league. You know I do. And I was on the phone all last night talking to various members of the Philadelphia 76ers organization as well as folks on Ben Simmons' side as well. And that doesn't just include Rich Paul. Here's the bottom line. Ben Simmons does not want to be a part of the Philadelphia 76ers any longer. This is something that he declared just a couple of days after the season was over. Ultimately, he met with Doc Rivers and the brass for the Philadelphia 76ers face-to-face. He told them to their face months ago he did not want to be in Philadelphia any longer. Rich Paul, his agent, initially tried to say, excuse me, let's wait a minute here. Understand, it's going to be hard. You got 4 years, $146.6 million left on your contract. It ain't like you're approaching the last year of your contract. This is a very arduous task and what have you. You need to be willing to sit out the damn season if you are going to make this move. Ben Simmons said, I don't give a damn, do it anyway. So, in other words, he has given the impression that he is willing to cost himself a year's salary in excess of $33 million in order to get the hell up out of Philadelphia. Obviously, if you're the Philadelphia 76ers, you're going to take the position. I'm not trying to get 20 cents on the dollar. This man has made it clear he doesn't want to be a part of Philadelphia any longer. Somehow, some way, it's become public information. And as a result of that reality, those teams that would be interested in him are not going to offer the bank because they know he wants out. So their mentality is, why should we give up the house in order to get you? Philadelphia recognizes that and is now holding their feet firmly to the ground. Their mentality, according to my sources, is simply this. When we look at the Philadelphia 76ers, a lot of people out there around the league, KP, have been talking about former Commissioner David Stern and what he would do. Because the fact that Ben Simmons has made it clear he doesn't want to be a part of Philadelphia any longer and he has no intentions of showing up to training camp, the former commissioner that was David Stern, God rest his soul, would have been finding folks all over the place. The Sixers are probably looking for that help from Commissioner Adam Silver. They may want him to step in and take the position that, excuse me, we don't get to sit up there, sign you to a max deal last year. You come back now and declare it you want to be out, and as a result, you're not going to get traded, but we still got to pay you your money. Remember, before the season even begins, Ben Simmons is due 50% of his salary, I believe, by November 2nd. It's like $8.3 million October 1st, another $8.3 million November 1st to 2nd. So he's due about 50% of his salary before the season basically begins, essentially. And their mentality is, we don't want to have to pay him. So now we got to take into account, KP, the trade scenarios that are available. You got teams like Sacramento, Minnesota, even Cleveland and others. Everybody's been calling about Ben Simmons. It's all a matter of what they have to offer. The Golden State Warriors have been hesitant from Jump Street because they don't believe Draymond Green and Ben Simmons is an ideal fit. So they've been reluctant to make that move because you'd have to pick one or the other. And you know Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are going to want Draymond Green to be there instead of Ben Simmons. The Portland Trail Blazers, from what I'm told, obviously, they're talking about C.J. McCollum. They're talking about Rob Covington. They're talking about a couple of first-round picks. They don't want to put it out there because you don't want to alienate C.J. McCollum in the event that you keep him. But nevertheless, it's something that they've been willing to offer. The Sixers have not been willing to bite. Right now, the Sixers are holding their feet firm to the fire because they don't want to give in and cave in and set a bad precedent by moving somebody who makes a demand to be moved when he still has 4 years left on his contract. That is the situation going on with the Philadelphia 76ers right now. And the bottom line is everything is just chaotic because Ben Simmons apparently is willing to sit out the season before he shows up to the Philadelphia 76ers. We both know KP could always change his mind. That could be just smoke, blowing smoke. But according to what I'm hearing, his position has been made clear months ago, and he's been incredibly consistent with the Sixers. He hasn't folded, bought a new $22 million mansion in Calabasas, okay? The
Good
Sixers were talking about wanting to meet up with him. He said, hell, they could fly out here if they want to, but I'm not flying to see them. That's his mentality right now. It seems like it's going to get a lot uglier before it gets better. KP, the floor is yours.
I mean, everything that you said was spot on, Stephen A. And you know what? Over the past couple years, 5 or 6 years, I knew we were going to get to a point like this. Well, we're dealing with two stubborn parties, all right? We're talking about Ben Simmons and Rich Paul, along with a stubborn organization and the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'm not throwing shots at nobody. I'm saying that, like you was talking about, both of these parties are not willing to bend. And right now, the 76ers are saying, you know what? We don't have to trade you. And they don't. They don't have to trade Ben Simmons. And I feel like this is going to get ugly for the simple fact that, like you said, I feel like it's going to come a point where Adam Silver is going to have to step in. And let me tell you how the system works for us when you get fined in the NBA, okay? And I know, you know, he gets a certain amount of money, like you said. I don't know if it's October 1st, November 1st, but he gets a certain percentage of his money up
50%.
Front.
50%.
But I know he still... Okay, but I know he still have that other 50 on the back end. And
yes.
what I know about getting fined in the NBA is that they don't send you an invoice and they don't put a pink slip on your chair. No, they take their money out before it hits your account. And one of the things that I always preach to guys that are in the NBA, to guys that was coming up beneath me, never give back your money. You work too hard to get to this point. Never give your lettuce back. From a guy that led the NBA in technical fouls, I regret it to this day, the hundreds of thousands that I lost because I was just being stupid and foolish and giving back my money. Now, with that being said, I talked about this yesterday on the Jump, Stephen A., is that think about the CBA in the next couple years. Think about what the owner's going to do when that comes up. They're going to be waiting at the front door for guys, for the Players Association, for the simple fact that they're going to say, you know what? We tired of this. We didn't went through it with Anthony Davis. We didn't went through it with James Harden. Now we're going through it with Ben Simmons. And so with that being said, look, both parties right now, they're standing firm. Philly is not budging, neither is Ben Simmons.
Listen, let me say this all real quick. First of all, you've got folks that have questioned whether or not Ben and Joel Embiid can gel. Mm-hmm. I'm told that the straw that broke the camel's back was obviously in the immediate aftermath of the loss to the Atlanta Hawks Game 7 Eastern Conference Semifinals. I was there. When Doc Rivers said he doesn't know if Ben Simmons is his point guard of the future, that definitely was a devastating blow. And Joel Embiid saying the play where Ben Simmons didn't take it in and dunk it, even though Danilo Gallinari was behind him and some six-foot dude was in front of him. When Joel Embiid said that play in Atlanta came down and scored, probably determined the game. Those two things really is what made Ben Simmons dogged. I can't believe it's just those two things. I'm told that Doc Rivers, who's expected to be on the show a little bit later today, definitely had a conversation with him and, you know, essentially acknowledged that he could have chose better words and whatever, but Doc Rivers has been incredibly, incredibly supportive of him since he arrived in Philadelphia. He even came on the show last year arguing with me about how, you know, the shooting wasn't important and what have you. So that's not something for Ben Simmons to lean on. Nevertheless, he seems to be looking for an excuse to lean on anything in order to get the hell up out of Philly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, we'll have much more on this with Doc Rivers a little bit later. Perk, you'll be back with us in just a bit, but we are also minutes away from some other things that we need to discuss, including Big Ben, the other Ben that we want to discuss right here on First Take. So that's coming up right after this break. Or I guess we're going to stay with Big Ben right now. Okay, yep. We'll do that right now. So it's not a secret. Stephen A. Steelers have struggled a lot on offense, a lot of question marks surrounding Big Ben, and if he can still lead a team to the promised land, all the ire can be directed at Ben. The offensive line has struggled to protect him. Here's some perspective on just how poorly the Steelers have done at protecting their future Hall of Fame quarterback. Big Ben was contacted while running or throwing 10 times on week 2 and 18 times through 2 games this season, his most times in that span. All right. Is the Steelers season over? Marcus Spears will be joining us.
Well, he'll be there. Definitely looking forward to talking to Swaggo about that. Let me be very, very clear. If Ben Roethlisberger cannot go for an extended period of time, the Steelers season is over. I'm just going to put it out there right now. You haven't looked that damn good to begin with. Let's just call it what it is. The Steelers offense has been anemic, to be kind. We know that Mike Tomlin has been coaching this team for 14 years. We know he's never had a losing season, but there's a first time for everything. And it'll be a first time this year because I'll be damned if I believe in Mason Rudolph. I never have. As a matter of fact, I'm looking forward to seeing Dwayne Haskins before I think about Mason Rudolph. I just ain't sold. And if Dwayne Haskins can't beat out Mason Rudolph, maybe he needs to think about another line of work. Because as far as I'm concerned, Mason Rudolph ain't the answer. Not for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not based on what I've seen him do in his tenure as their perpetual backup quarterback. In the end, here's the bottom line. When you look at this, the Pittsburgh Steelers, their offensive line is incredibly suspect. We understand that. We recognize that. Bunch of no names on there. I mean, Villanueva, for crying out loud, is now Baltimore Ravens. It used to be sacrilegious to go from Pittsburgh to Baltimore. Now it seems just ordinary. I don't understand it. But that's neither here nor there. And, of course, Pouncey and those boys retired. In the end, they got a bunch of no names on their offensive line. Don't seem to know how to run block. Don't seem to know how to pass block. Seems to be a problem. We saw Big Ben Roethlisberger get sacked twice, hit 10 times. It's a problem. And I'm looking at the weapons that they have. And sorry, Chase Claypool and Juju Smith-Schuster and James Washington and Deontay Johnson and Eric Ebron. These are not slouches. These are bona fide targets that you could utilize if you pass protect and gave the quarterback an opportunity to breathe before throwing the damn football. They could do some things. So the fact that you haven't been able to do that in the first 2 games, albeit against Buffalo and Las Vegas Raiders respectively, the bottom line is that doesn't spell well for you. And then now we've got Big Ben Roethlisberger. And so I look at it from the standpoint that if you don't have him available to go out there for you and ball, I don't see how you overcome this time around. Not with Cleveland and Baltimore looking the way they look. Not with Buffalo on the come up, despite the fact that you beat them in week 1. Not with New England relevant. Not with the Raiders relevant. Not with the Chiefs there and Tennessee. I just don't see it. As far as I'm concerned, if the Pittsburgh Steelers don't have Ben Roethlisberger, they've got no chance this season's over.
Molly Q, feel it? Do you feel it coming out of him? You feel it? You feel that emotion and that energy? I'm glad I'm not in New York right now because it is, I know it's thick in that studio right now. See, all the days that I've had to sit on here and hear about the Cowboys and their downfall, I kind of want to relish in this moment right now, but I'm not going to do it because I don't think their season is over. And I think here's something I'm about to say that might sound a little bit crazy to people, all right? I don't think Ben is done, but Ben is not supported like we've seen older quarterbacks be supported at this juncture in their career. The team is not set up in order for him to have success. Getting the ball out of your hands quick, like Mike Tomlin mentioned, that's not going to work for the Pittsburgh Steelers because teams are pressing up on all of their receivers. Everybody is playing close to the line of scrimmage because you have a quarterback that can't move. And Stephen A., you said something that I think everybody needs to pay attention to. If Mason Rudolph is the backup right now, they need to see what Dwayne Haskins can do. Because what Big Ben's problem is, without the offensive line and watching these past 2 weeks, Ben can't move. Ben can still throw. He can still put the ball where it needs to be put, but he cannot move. And when you're behind an offensive line and you have a quarterback that's immobile, that's a level of destruction in this league based on what defenses do now that is not set up for you to have success. Look, I'm not saying Dwayne Haskins is great, the greatest thing since sliced bread, but I know he can move. He can avoid some contact. Mason Rudolph can as well. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm going to take y'all back a couple years ago. Y'all remember when Big Ben was hurt and Stephen A. was on here pumping his chest, talking about Mike Tomlin, Aiden 8, Duck Hodges, and Mason Rudolph. And here is the thing I want people to understand, Stephen A., because I absolutely understand where you're coming from with your sentiments about the Pittsburgh Steelers. They need a quarterback back. Back there that can move, boss. And that will help this football team. The thing that I'm more concerned about is T.J. Watt. That's what I'm more concerned about. Because coming into this season, they were hanging their hat on defense anyway. Yeah. But Mike Tomlin is still on that sideline. That team understands how to win. And that's why we can never count the Pittsburgh Steelers out. They still have playmakers, like you mentioned, offensively. I'm sorry to say, but this situation is not conducive for Ben Roethlisberger to be their starting quarterback. Well, it's more conducive for one of those guys backing them up that can get themselves out of harm's way.
Well, the reason I disagree with you is because you're talking about system one. I'm saying the system would be irrelevant if you had an offensive line that could protect the quarterback. You really are deficient. You're so deficient at the offensive line position that the bottom line is you can't protect the quarterback, and that's compromising everything. Now, if you had a decent offensive line and we saw this offense looking this way, I would completely, completely agree with you. I'm saying simply, Swagger, we don't know because you can't pass protect. And that's a problem. You can't run block. We know what Najee Harris can do. It ain't complicated to run the damn football. You either got it or you don't. And clearly Najee Harris coming out of Alabama definitely had it. So we know what he can bring to the table. The fact of the matter is the first two games of this season, you've had him running into a wall. Nobody is blocking for him. So that's problematic in and of itself. Do they need a more mobile quarterback? Sure. But that's only because that quarterback won't get hit as much because they'll be running for their life, and they'll be a bit more evasive than Ben Roethlisberger instead of being a stationary target. And as a result, they won't absorb as much punishment. But it still doesn't change the reality.
But we also, what I'm trying to explain to you is we also got to put some of this on the fact that Ben is not mobile, which limits them from what they possibly can do offensively, right?
Okay.
Look, everybody is under the understanding that the offensive line is bad. But you know where else the offensive line is bad too? In Chicago. And what are we screaming for? Put Justin Fields in so you can create an offense, you can have a philosophy, and potentially have a scheme to get your quarterback out of harm's way. You can do that pre-snap. You can do that with motion. You can do that with shifts. But you're trying to ask a 39-year-old quarterback that's never done it in his career to change his stripes under Matt Canada, their new offensive coordinator. Look, Ben is a statue, bro. This offensive line is bad. In order to try to compensate for that in the NFL, you create schemes that moves your quarterback. And if Pittsburgh is going to be stubborn, right, like I think they've been anyway by not getting ahead of replacing Ben Roethlisberger or having someone, but if they're recognizing, I get all of the feelings in Pittsburgh. I understand all of that. We watched Peyton Manning behind a good offensive line in Denver win a Super Bowl. You know why? Because he was able to stand still and deliver the ball. That's not this situation.
Well, hold on. Hold on for a second. We can't really condemn them in this respect. Although the Tom Brady's of the world and others were taken in the later rounds, the reality is most often when you find a quarterback, you know what, it better be in the first, second round. And the Steelers haven't really had that because they've been winning football games. And so as a result of winning football games, the quarterbacks that were attractive enough to be drafted high enough were usually gone when it was their time to come around. Mm-hmm. So I can't completely condemn them for that. Because if it ain't available, it ain't available. What I will concede is that you've had enough time, considering Ben Roethlisberger's age, to invest in a quarterback that could replace him. You could have done that. And the fact that Mason Rudolph has been your backup for years doesn't move me at all. And so in that regard, I understand where you're coming from. I know that Ben, being the stationer, the statue that he is, compromises them in all the ways that you articulated. I totally get that. But in the end, I'm looking at it from the standpoint that if Ben Roethlisberger cannot throw the football for you, cannot get out there on the field, and your response is Mason Rudolph, even though you picked up Dwayne Haskins, you essentially have two third stringers. That's what you have. And if that's what you got no shot. Now, we could bring up T.J. Watt. We can bring up Devin Bush. We can bring up Highsmith because him and T.J. Watt both had groin injuries. I don't understand that, but that is what it is. In the end, you got to be able to put some points on the board, which they haven't been able to do.
I'm sweating like a fat boy right now because I'm feeling this hot energy coming off of you about your Steelers. But the bottom line is, man, they have to try something different. And look, I know it's blasphemous to say that Ben may have to watch from the sideline until they figure out if they can get this offensive line fixed. And I know no one wants to hear that. And I was on the side of Ben because I just couldn't believe in my mind that Mike Tomlin would allow a team to send the same situation offensive line-wise back on the football field. But that looks like where we are. And where we are right now is you have Mason Rudolph and you have Dwayne Haskins, and both of those guys are more mobile than the quarterback you have behind the offensive line that cannot pass block. Try something else. But I don't think the season is over for the Steelers.
Before we go to break, who did you say yesterday that has more upside than the Steelers? I just want to make sure Mark is
here. I said the Cowboys, but you know what this proves, right? Y'all know what this proves, right?
What
it proves is that I'm real about my Steelers. I understand the dilemma that they're facing. Mm-hmm. See, I'm not delusional. I'm not nauseated. You understand? I'm not disgusting. I'm not the kind of things that I describe as the typical Cowboy fan. As a Steeler fan, I'm more realistic, and I will embrace the reality of their dormant situation at this particular moment in time. I'm willing to do that for now.
Very proud of you.
For now.
It took you 2 weeks. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So there's been a lot of talk about the Cowboys' backfield. Does Ezekiel Elliott still have it as Tony Pollard passed him? Pollard has been producing. Through two games, he's averaging nearly twice as many yards per carry as Elliott and nearly twice as many receiving yards. Here's Jerry Jones on his running back situation.
The facts are that we really have an outstanding situation here, that Pollard gets up on him so fast and can really surprise the defense. He's stronger than he looks, but he just has got so sudden and got such a burst. And then Zeke, you don't even need to describe him. He's as powerful in terms of, I'm going to overuse the word, but his burst, I mean to tell you, he punishes the hell out of those defenders. Both of those are going to be a real staple for us as we get into the season.
Stephen A., your boy Jerry Jones.
Yes.
Is this a knock on Ezekiel Elliott?
I personally think it is, and I'm not saying that it's a knock on Ezekiel Elliott in terms of just what Jerry Jones says. There's been some talk about some slippage in regards to Ezekiel Elliott. Now, I've seen him lose the weight. I've seen him look fast. But I'm looking at Pollard, how strong he is, deceptively strong, how evasive he is, quick burst out of the gap, what he's able to do running the football. And I'm seeing a guy that only has, that has 11 less carries on the season thus far, but still has more yards rushing than Ezekiel Elliott. Now, Ezekiel Elliott was averaging 5 yards a carry throughout his career until last year, where it dipped to 4. We understand that Dak Prescott going down in game 5 of the season had a lot to do with compromising his level of productivity. Nevertheless, the truth is the truth. Right now, Pollard looks like a better running back than Ezekiel Elliott. Now, Jerry Jones isn't going to come out and say those words, but trust you me, the billionaire with the billion-dollar playpen, the marketing genius that he is, a franchise that's worth $5 billion, a dude that is an absolutely shrewd negotiator. Listen, he could be saying stuff to motivate Ezekiel Elliott, to poke at him a little bit, to get him running. And then listen, Ezekiel Elliott's been blocking well. You know, Dan Orlovsky and others pointed that out. His blocking ability is there. We understand that. And he's not a scrub running the football. But what he has to accept, and we'll get into Aaron Rodgers later, because he's another one that has to accept this, along with others. There's a standard that your excellence sets. It's not like people pull expectations out of the wind and just throw them on you, okay? They don't expect that, what they expect from Ezekiel Elliott. They don't expect from most running backs in the league. But he's Ezekiel freaking Elliott, okay? He's who he is. And as a result, there's a level of expectations you have for him that he hasn't lived up to. And I think Jerry Jones notices that. And I don't think he minds us noticing that. Probably because he thinks it's going to work to the benefit of Ezekiel Elliott down the road.
No, it's not a knock on Zeke. It's a promotion based on what he's seen Tony Pollard do. Zeke Elliott is still going to be a vitally important part of what they are going to do from an offensive standpoint. This dude rushed for 979 last year, and I know we highlight the fumbles, but behind an offensive line where he had no idea in hell who would be blocking in front of him, I still see bursts. I still see strength. It's different running styles. See, this is the new hotness. Tony Pollard is the new hotness right now, and Tony Pollard is a really good running back. He's been doing this for a long time, but Zeke was the feature guy because this is the way they built the offense when Zeke first came in the league. And everybody focusing points at that contract. The contract is based on the production that you put forward. So now we want to go back. We want to turn the pages back and say, well, we probably shouldn't have paid Zeke because Zeke wasn't this guy. Zeke was that guy. Zeke was in the conversation for being the number one back in the league. And I look at this team this year, and we having this conversation about is it a knock on Zeke? And we refuse to look at all of the elements that have changed about this football team. Like, could there possibly be some things about offensive philosophy, offensive line, the way they run offense that changes the effectiveness of Zeke Elliott and how we thought about him when he was getting 40 carries a game? You don't want to live in that world. I know it's one anomaly, and that's Derrick Henry in Tennessee, where they hand the ball off time and time again. Different animal. Zeke is no longer in the same situation. He's no longer going to have the usage that he had early in his career, and he's no longer playing in the same offense. Zeke Elliott will go over 1,000 yards this year, and everybody will look at it and say, well, he should have ran for 1,500, or he should have ran for 1,600, because we're thinking about a few years ago when this was an absolutely different football team. You had Dak Prescott, who you didn't know would turn into what he is right now. We knew he was good and trending in this direction. This is a totally different situation. To say it's a knock on Zeke Elliott.
Well, first of all, it is. You can deny it all you want to, but it is. That's number one. And number two, to show you my level of objectivity, Marcus Spears, I have to give myself credit where credit is due. Did you know that it is in my best interest for Ezekiel Elliott to run for 1,000 yards this year? Because this is my first year ever playing fantasy football, and he's the running back that I picked. Do you see that level of objectivity that I have? Uh-huh. I had the fifth overall pick, so I had to grab him, and I grabbed Ezekiel Elliott because my four running backs that I wanted were all gone. So it just shows you I'm not completely off the cliff when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. It doesn't cloud my objectivity, and I'm still here to tell you, despite what you just said, based on what I've seen the first two games with him averaging, what, about 53 and a half yards a game, I don't see him rushing for 1,000 yards this season. He did it last season, and I think, you know why I don't see him running for 1,000 yards? Because if the first two games are any indication, Marcus, I see them giving some of his carries to Pollard. Mm. And by the way, let me ask you a very generic, logical question per se. Have we seen Pollard do anything that says he should have less carries?
No.
Exactly.
No.
So he's only going to get more if he keeps playing this way. So if that's Stephen the A. reality, that's going to compromise Ezekiel Elliott.
Stephen A., can we not look at football through the lens of they do different things? Can we not focus on the fact that both of these backs are different, and that's why you have a two-back system? Tony Pollard will be used a lot on the edges. He'll be used in the passing game. But Zeke's carries are going down anyway. Yeah. They've been going down yearly because you have a top-10 quarterback with elite weapons on the outside.
Which is why that combined with Pollard is going to compromise his level of production.
But how is that a knock on Zeke Elliott and them circumstances? All of them have changed.
Because you paid the man $90 million and your expectation may be, excuse me, we shouldn't have to rely on Pollard as much as we do. I'm just saying. I don't feel that way, but that's how they might feel. You never know. You know how Jerry is.
I told you in my first soliloquy, one of your favorite words, that Zeke Elliott got paid because it was designed for him to be the top back in the league and rush for a lot of yards. It is no longer that way.
I got you. I agree with that.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome back to First Take. We now welcome in 76ers head coach Doc Rivers. He joins the show. Before we jump into the news, everyone wants to hear your thoughts, coach, on what is your new podcast? It Was Said, Sports. What is that all about, coach?
Stephen A., thanks for having me on. You know, it's John Meacham and I decided to do a podcast together. You know, I don't do a lot of this kind of stuff, but when John Meacham calls, he's one of the great political writers of our time. He wrote Joe Biden's acceptance speech. I thought it was such a strange pairing where you have him and me doing, you know, something on a podcast together. It's really cool. We're covering great things that people have said in sports. You know, from Muhammad Ali to Hank Aaron, Tim Tebow's The Promise speech. He told me to tell you hi because I think you have to do the Gator Walk or something. He was saying, I'm not sure what he was saying about that, but he did tell me to mention that to you.
I got you.
And then the first one is 9/11. You know, we cover that and the role sports played in that. If you remember Jack Buck's great speech, so. Right. For me, it's been an educational experience. It's been really cool.
How often will you do it? Is this something that you'll do weekly? Is this something that you'll do a few times? How often are you going to do this?
No, we're canning them. So I'm done.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, we taped them all. We did all the interviews. You know, the segment with Dusty Baker talking about the way they played back when they played with Hank Aaron, I got to tell you, was unbelievable. I kind of wish sports was a little like that in some ways where, you know, you go on a road and everybody has dinner together and it's some neat stuff. I learned a lot of stuff by doing this.
I got you. Coach, I'd be remiss in neglecting, you know, one of the biggest reasons that you're on right now. I've got to talk to you about this. It's been all over the news. Ben Simmons, a star for your team, says that he wants out. He no longer wants to be a member of the Philadelphia 76ers. I was told last night he wants to play for anyone but the Philadelphia 76ers. Your response to that, sir?
Yeah, we hear it all, Stephen A., and that's fine, but we're not going to give up on that. You know how I feel about Ben. Me and you have had many arguments over Ben Simmons. I've always defended him. I just love how he plays. I love a lot of the things that he does for our team. You know, unfortunately, we focus so much on his offense, and we don't focus on a lot of the other things he does. You know, Ben's been under a lot of pressure in Philadelphia. We know that. Having said that, we were one game away from the Eastern Finals. Last year, no one picked us. No one picked us to be where we were at. And so I look at last year as the first step, not the last step. But we have to go through all this to get him back. There's no doubt about that.
Coach, did he tell you guys, meet with you guys face-to-face and tell y'all he wanted out? I spoke to somebody yesterday. They said that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good conversation. And he gave us reasons, which we obviously didn't agree with. But, you know, Stephen, I think in sports, and you've been around it a lot, there's been so many times that this has happened that hasn't been reported, and the guy comes back. So, listen, we're going to go through it. We're going to always do what's best for the team. But I can tell you up front, we would love to get Ben back. And if we can, we're going to try to do that. You know, Ben has a long contract. So it's in our hands, and we want him back.
There was a level of frustration I know for a fact that he was feeling long before Doc Rivers ever arrived in Philadelphia. When he was playing here under Brett Brown, he just didn't like a lot of things that were going on. Obviously, you came there and there was a hope for change. But in the aftermath of the loss to the Atlanta Hawks in Game 7, you were on the record saying at that particular moment in time that you didn't know whether or not he was the point guard of the future for a championship franchise. Joel Embiid was on the record, you know, questioning the play where he passed up the dunk and gave the ball, you know, to Thibault, that played a big role.
Yeah, but I want to correct that.
Please do.
Yeah, I want to correct that because I would love you guys to play what I said. Mm-hmm. Because I've told you this before, Stephen A., never said what was reported. The question was asked about Ben. It was the first question after we just lost a Game 7. My answer was, I'm not answering any of that stuff right now, guys. I don't even know how to answer that. That had nothing to do was about Ben. I was basically saying, I'm not answering that crap, those questions. Mm-hmm. And so what disappointed me, and I don't do this media thing very often. You never see me do that.
Right.
It was being portrayed that I was out there saying, I don't think we can win with Ben. And I do. I told Ben that the next day. What really disappointed me was the next day I went on and said, guys, y'all know exactly what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And no one heard it. They just kept running their narrative. So, you know, I've been in sports a long time, and I'm not misrepresented very often. But in that case, I was. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. Ben knows. Rich knows. And I know.
Well, let me do something that you're not accustomed to seeing done for you on national television. Let me come to your defense in this regard, because we have argued about Ben Simmons on many occasions. I've talked about how I think he's a jump shot away from being LeBron James part two. I've talked about how hit 70% of his free throws to 75%. He can average 25 a game. He's that lethal. But because he's never developed that, I don't see how you can win with him refusing to shoot perimeter shots. And you were the guy who religiously came to his defense and saying, no, Steven, we can win with him. Watch us do it. I guess what I'm asking you is, I appreciate your explanation. I totally believe it. We've talked about it. But does Ben Simmons buy? Does he believe what you articulated? Does he accept that?
That's a great question. He did last year. He bought into what we were trying to do. And you're right. I think I love how the second part of what you said was very true. It's about the free throws, and we absolutely have to improve them. That we don't even need them to be at 70. We hired a free throw coach, a shooting coach. We want to get them in the gym. We want to work them to get them better, because I believe that one thing frees him up, Stephen. And so that's why, you know, when I go back and people talk about that Game 7, and I'm not sure what the actual stat is, but I want to say Trae Young was 5 for 24, right? Who did that? Ben Simmons did that. You know, and so we forget a lot of the things that he does, but I don't, because I'm a coach and I know the value that he has for this team. Yes, we got to get him to be better at the free throw line, because if he does that, that frees up all kinds of other things for him. The one thing we did do last year was we gave him the ball. We put the ball in Ben Simmons' hands, and he led our team. He led it to the best team in the East in the regular season and one game away from the Eastern Finals. We can win a title with Ben. I just believe that.
Coach, are you not concerned, though, about how his teammates feel? He knows who he plays with. He knows Joel Embiid is there. He knows Tobias Harris is there. He knows the rest of those guys are there. He's been a teammate of theirs. And this guy is saying, I want to play for anybody but the Philadelphia 76ers. How in God's name can the team come back from that? How can they embrace a player that they've played with that is on the – basically, you know, putting it out there, he wants to be gone that badly. How do you fix that?
You know, you fix it with communication. And, Steven, we're in sports, man. Things have changed all over the league and in every league. You've heard guys, I want out. I don't want to come back. They come back. We forget, and I've said this a couple of times today, the San Antonio Spurs traded Sean Elliott. Mm. You remember that? Traded him to Detroit. He failed the physical, didn't want to come back, came back, and they won the championship that year. So these things can happen, and we're hoping it happens here. Listen, if it doesn't, it's not going to be for us not trying to get it right. I can tell you that.
He's got 4 years, $146.6 million left on his deal. You don't have to move him. So, but some people would say, they, you know, from what I've been told, he's willing to sit out the season rather than come to the Philadelphia 76ers. What do you say to that? What are you going to do about that?
Well, that may be where he's at today. That may not be where he's at tomorrow. You know, you just don't know. Steven, that's why we just got to keep communicating and see where we can take this. But you are right. He has 4 years left on his contract. It's in our hands.
With that being said, your expectations, I know what your hope is, but what are your expectations for Ben Simmons this year with Philadelphia?
To get him back. And once we get back in the fold, then we can get to work. If that doesn't happen, I don't have an expectation because I don't know where we would go. That is to be, you know, that'll happen if it happens. But right now, Ben is still part of this team, and I'm going to focus on that part of it.
There's Daryl Morey, that is an executive with this organization. Josh Harris, an owner, has been obviously involved along with Ruben and those guys. Elton Brand, as far as I'm concerned, has proven himself to be a valuable executive in this league. You obviously have been around for a long time, an exceptional coach over these years, a championship coach. But a lot of people are looking at you and saying, because of your relationship with players, your ability to motivate and what have you, this comes down to Doc Rivers, who's trying to capture a championship once again after a lot of failed tries, even though you won in 2008. How are you feeling? What kind of pressure are you feeling personally right now to get this situation right with Ben Simmons?
You know, I put it like this. I slept well last night, you know, so... You know, it's pressure, but it's pressure that you want. You know, the greatest thing about sports is this. You get a chance every year, and when you don't win it, you get back up, and the fact that you get a chance to try to do it again is amazing to me. That's what makes sports so great. So, listen, we're right back at it once again.
Mm. Coach, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Before you get on out of here, I want you to lift up your right arm, if you don't mind. I saw a really, really nice – I mean, that's a pretty fly bracelet right there, Coach. I just wanted
to say
that.
That's kind of nice, right?
And I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, my kids gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
My kids finally got me a gift that I didn't pay for. That was really nice.
Coach, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. Take care of yourself. I'll see you soon.
Take care.
All right. Check out Doc's new podcast, It Was Said Sports. The one and only Doc Rivers, head coach for the Philadelphia 76ers. Molly, back to you.
Stephen A., exceptional interview. Doc Rivers saying that he wants Ben Simmons back and that he thinks he can win a title with him. Pressure is a privilege, Coach.